How do we get from the once record holder of the most caps and goals for England to a footballer famous for that headbutt?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers with myself, Josh and Dave, and we're still goating around.
Goat meh.
Have you seen Thor Love and Thunder?
No, I've gone well off Marvel stuff. There's too many of them.
There's a lot, but yeah, there's a lot of use of goats in that. It's just too much. It's not a good film. But we're on goat midfielders this week. We've segregated the midfield somewhat.
Specific.
yes. Detailed approach. And we kept it going with two ends of the spectrum again, in terms of more recent and more historical. I'm following the trend of me being the historical guy, but didn't you study history at A-level?
I did do history at A-level, but it wasn't the history of football. I mean, if it was, I would have got an A,
I think. Oh, man, I would have absolutely crushed that.
Could you imagine?
And I'd have been interested in it.
Like, if you imagine all the A-levels you did and then made it of football, do you reckon you would have got straight A's? Like, geography of football, history of football.
Oh, economics of football. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yes. Like, even computer science of football just means data analytics.
Oh, man. If there's any field I wish I could have gone into, it would be data analytics and football, if I had that foresight.
So the first job I applied for after university, might have been even after school, was to work for Opta when it was a really small little company. In data analytics football. Didn't get it. Went on to get two masters in material science. So
Yeah, that was kind of the first company everybody kind of knew, because I think it must have been like advertised on Sky or something using OptiStats, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stats and data. Lovely. But we're talking more qualitative things now. We're talking people, words.
Yeah.
Sir Bobby Charlton is where I'm starting this week.
A great person, and weirdly, not even someone I thought about for goat midfielders, but now that you mention it, it's like, obviously he should be considered.
So I considered a few names. Zico was there.
Yeah.
Michel Platini, somewhat tarnished. But I had to go back to school again. I actually did, in GCC, I think we had to do a presentation on someone. I had to do it in front of a class. And I chose Bobby Charlton. Not quite sure. I don't think I really had anything affinity with him. I thought, why not? And so, I felt like I had to go back and revisit it and go again. Because the one thing I always remember about Sir Bobby Charlton is that his uncle was Jackie Milburn. Not that I knew who Jackie Milburn was, but it was like, oh, right, okay.
So am I having a proper presentation for this bit? Is there going to be slides and transitions and everything
like that? I'm going to stand up for you at the front of my room.
Yeah.
But when I did that presentation, I was so nervous that I vomited all over the back of the classroom on the floor.
How old were you?
This was Mr. Swan's class. It must have been year 10 or 11. It was around GCC time.
Right.
Yeah, got so nervous, I vomited all over, in between my legs at the back of the class.
Tell anyone?
I think it was quite obvious.
And was this before your presentation, yeah?
Yeah, my presentation got delayed for a few weeks because I was like, okay, let's just kind of, let Josh recuperate. And then I did really well because it's just...
Sympathy vote.
Yeah. I'll give him an A. Maybe he won't be shit at presentations for the rest of his life.
Yeah, give him an A and just say he gets a pass for all presentations because no one wants to be dealing with that. Yeah.
Look at that. He's got an A. You don't need to do any more.
Yeah.
He'll bask in a fat glory.
Bobby Charlton. Tell me about him.
Robert. Real name?
Yeah.
Blown your mind there, haven't I? Robert.
Sir Robert.
Sir Robert of Charlton. Born the 11th of October, 1937. So soon to be his birthday. And now aged 84. Funny, initially his mother was reluctant to let him commit to an insecure football career, so he began an apprenticeship as an electrical engineer. However, he then soon turned professional. In 1954, he turned professional. He became one of the famed Busby Babes, playing for Manchester United for the first 17 years of his club career, appearing 758 times, scoring 249 goals. Not too shabby for midfielder / forward. It's kind of like when you're a goal scorer midfielder, sometimes you're going to get utilised further forward, aren't you?
Yeah.
So during his time at United, he won the first division in 1957. He was one of the survivors of the Munich air disaster in 1958. Won the FA Cup 5 years later in 63, as well as a further two leagues in 65 and 67. then kind of capped it all off with a European Cup win in 1968. The first for an English club, actually, beating Benfica 4-1 in the final after extra time. Charlton getting a couple of goals and then lifting the cup as captain. During the 70s, United tailed off and were no longer kind of one of the top clubs in England. Sad to see. Instead, battling against relegation at several times. And Charlton had actually fallen out with United's other stars, Dennis Adore and George Best. Best actually refusing to play in Charlton's testimonial, wow, declaring it would be hypocritical for him to do so. So his kind of, you know, his United career got somewhat petered out in the end. And then he went on for a, you know, very short spell. So we have a season with Preston North End as player coach under Nobby Stiles. We then have playing for Waterford, I think, is in Ireland. We have Newcastle KB United. Now, it doesn't go into detail on these, but that feels there's a Newcastle in Australia, and it seems like his subsequent side is Perth Azzurri. I'm guessing Australia.
Yeah, I think,
but not
so.
100%. But then Blacktown City, it mentioned somewhere else in the page that he went to play in South Africa, so maybe that's South Africa. But across Waterford, Newcastle, Perth, and Blacktown City, he appeared in 8 league games across 4 years. So, not quite sure what he's doing at that point. Doesn't really go into detail.
Bet the money was good, though.
Yeah, I imagine that's what's happening. Yeah. But it was more internationally. He notably won the World Cup with England in 1966, which led him to be the Ballon d'Or winner the same year. He'd then go on to be runner-up for Ballon d'Or in 67 and 68. And with England, this blew my mind a little bit. I'm wondering if there's anyone who's set to break this. His... still to this day, the only England player to feature in 4 World Cup squads.
Now, immediately comes to mind is David Beckham.
Yeah.
Who definitely did 98, 2002, 2006, and 2010. Did he?
Where was 2010?
South Africa.
South Africa? No, I don't...
No, I don't think he did go. Harry Kane, is he close? Surely he will.
Harry Kane's... Wasn't Harry Kane's first World Cup just gone? So he's only on his second one, age... 30.
Oh, yeah, maybe not then. Okay.
And Rooney would have been there, but I think his injury would have stopped Rooney. He missed a squad for broken metatarsal or something, didn't he?
Yeah, but he still went, didn't he? That, remember, we had the old Uri Geller, everyone pray on the newspaper and stuff.
The old Uri Geller. The old Uri Geller.
Exactly, that nonsense. Uri, I think, Geller. He. Well, Rooney, obviously, it would have been so, correct, wouldn't it? Rooney must have done 3.
Well, yeah, this page is what it's about. I mean, actually, didn't Rooney miss out on a squad later on in his career?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, maybe one to double check. And at the time of his retirement, he was record goal scorer for England and Manchester United and United's record appearance maker. Just a quick question for you. Who now holds those records?
Well, Wayne Rooney is England and United's goal scorers. Yeah?
Yes.
And
but
United's appearance maker is Ryan Giggs, who we try not to mention on the podcast, as we alluded to earlier just before starting, weirdly.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Soon to be Harry Kane, though, isn't it?
Really? Yeah. England for the goal scorer. Yeah.
Hopefully the World Cup, wins the World Cup, retires for international duty. That's what my hope is.
Unless you're talking about Man United appearance maker, because that needs one hell of a transfer and then a lot of games to happen before he retires.
Yeah. Not sure that one's going to happen. After playing, he went on to be part of United's board of directors from 1984 to the late 2010s. And am I right in saying he continues to be a presence in the stands to this day?
He's still up there in the directors area and normally sits next to Sir Alex. So,
to placate your fans that, you know, still got the old faithful there, even though the Glazers are knocking about.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. We have honours. Clearly, obviously, you know, I've mentioned his leagues, his FA Cup, European Cup, World Cup. Third place at the Euros with England, the British Home Championship, won it 5 times. Well done, him. Won the World Cup Golden Ball in 66. He's in the World Cup All-Star team in 66 and 70. You know, Ballon d'Or, FIFA 100, clearly. I wonder if he's going to redo that for later in our life. There's probably another one, isn't there?
Who would do it? Do you reckon someone like my person would do their list of 100 best living footballers and then add it to 20 more to make it 120, like Pelé did?
I think it would be it's got to be Messi or Ronaldo, isn't it, to be doing that list?
Yeah, but I think, well, when did Pelé do it? It was like 60, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2004 was the FIFA 100.
Yeah, so I think, well, Messi and Ronaldo are still...
30 times, isn't it? 30 years wait time.
Yeah.
You don't want people on both lists, though, do you?
Nah, true, you don't, no.
They're going to be, because it's surviving. They've got some young people on there and some That'd be interesting, so he's the youngest person on the list. FIFA Player of the Century, he was part of the vote for that. Was like 16th or something like that, I think it says. He's got OBE, CBE, and a knighthood. So, very honoured. Won the European trophy, which is, Champions League winner and World Cup winner. Not a bad couple of wins. Does your guy have such honours?
My guy. Who is your guy? Has a lot of honours, probably very similar actually to Sir Bobby Charlton. I've gone with obviously Zinedine Zidane, famous for that headbutt. I would say more than two things that when you mention Zidane, two things come to my mind: the headbutt and the volleyed goal against Leverkusen in the Champions League.
I also think about his almost missed Panenka against Italy
in the World Cup final where he got sent off. Yeah,
yeah. Underside of a bar, Panenka, that is just about as. Yeah, close as it comes,
and it was like a foot over the line. It really wasn't that far over.
When it came down.
Yeah. So Zinedine Zidane is widely regarded as one of the greatest players of all time. That's on the page. I agree as well. I think what he could do with the football, it was incredible.
It was his beauty. It was his beauty when playing. Like it just is. I enjoy players whose just balance is slightly like Modric for me has got like. When you watch a player and you think they're going to play a ball somewhere and they don't, and it works really well, it's completely opposite to what you're thinking. Like, oh, that's.
I've got a word for you, Josh, nice. And it's not on his page. I'm going to go with. Well, it is on his page, actually, but I thought of it before reading it. Elegance.
Oh.
Elegance on the ball is incredible.
Such elegance, yeah.
And he was renowned as a playmaker more than anything else. He was good in the tackle, wasn't outstanding, was good at scoring goals, wasn't outstanding, although he did have incredible technique and ball control. There's again a video where it comes over his shoulder and he just sort of sticks out a toe and catches it on his big, it's just incredible. But yeah, loads of accolades as a player. He was named in the FIFA World Player of the Year. He was named FIFA World Player of the Year in 98, 2000, 2003 and won the 1998 Ballon d'Or. Alongside with those individuals, obviously he's been a very good coach as well for Real Madrid.
Surprisingly good,
yeah.
I'd say.
Two La Ligas, three Champions Leagues, the only manager to ever win the Champions League thrice with the same club. Two Super Cups, two FIFA World Club Cups, two Supercopa Españas. What is not on that list that you'd expect Real Madrid to win?
I don't know.
The Copa del Rey.
Copa del Rey.
Lost in two finals, both to Barcelona as Real Madrid manager. But again, I think we know Zidane more as, I think the player, the club player, you know the time at Juventus, Real Madrid. Like, it was just standout. But I think we really got to see most of him in the era when we were growing up in international football because that's what was televised back in the day. You would see him when he played for Juventus on Galazia, whatever it was called. What was that actual programme called?
Football Italia.
Football Italia on Channel 4. But he was capped 108 times by France. He won the 98 FIFA World Cup and he scored twice in that final. Was named to the All-Star team, but did get sent off in that. I know, so it was 2002 World Cup, wasn't it? He got sent off, against Italy.
Question for you, Dave. In the 98 World Cup final, who scored the other goal for France?
Ooh, Thierry Henry?
Emmanuel Petit.
Oh, okay. So it made him a national hero. He received the Legion of Honour, which is the equivalent of being knighted in the UK for France. And he also won Euro 2000, was named player of the tournament there. He received the Golden Ball as player of the tournament at 2006 World Cup, even though he was sent off for headbutting Marco Materazzi in the final. So I got all my dates wrong with that one. 2006 World Cup it was there. And then he retired as the fourth most capped player in French history. And I think what made that headbutt more pronounced was that everyone knew that was his last game as a player. He had announced his retirement for Real Madrid and said he wasn't going to sign a contract with anyone else and he was giving up and he won't reverse that decision. So he then headbutted Marco Materazzi in the biggest game of world football in the last game of his career. Did he do it for the infamousness?
Was it a preconceived idea? And I wonder how he feels about it today. If it wasn't, like it was, just he lost his head. It'll be a very emotional game, won't it? Like, knowing it's your last match, I'd imagine it probably wasn't planned. It just, the emotions got better in him. It's like, this is my last flipping game, and you're telling something about my mum. Don't you dare! I'm gonna bang headbutt. Oh, in the chest as well.
In the chest, like, really hard.
I don't think I've really ever seen a headbutt ever like that.
No, it was incredible. And obviously Italy went on to win that on penalties. He would have been a penalty taker. He may have been. It was in the 110th minute of extra time, so there was still a whole...
Is that how late it was?
Yeah, it was really late on. And there was still... And France were on top in that game, generally, in terms of creating chances. But, yeah, went to penalties and France lost. But he came back as an absolute hero, and there was just so many stats and statistics given about votes that happened straight away after the game and how the public were really on board with him. And I've just got to find the quote very, very quickly. So upon his return to France, the Place de la Concorde in Paris was filled with thousands of fans waving flags and rhythmically chanting Zizou, Zizou. Tributes are led by the French president, Jacques Chirac. And Chirac's words reflected the feeling of the French public, with polls done in the immediate wake of the headbutt incident showing support for Zidane. 61% of the French people said they had already forgiven him for his actions, whilst 52% of the people said they also understood his actions. So, yeah, he wasn't really, didn't really lose any faith from the French public. But something I find really interesting is that he may never have actually burst on the scene with France if it wasn't for a certain Man United player jumping into the crowd, kicking a racist
fan.
Cantona was the playmaker behind the striker, and Zidane was on the bench for the beginning of his French career. He got his first cap. He came on as a substitute against Czech Republic. It was 2-0 down. Zidane came on, scored twice, made it 2-2, which is a great way to make your debut from the bench. But then, yeah, Eric Cantona was handed a year-long suspension in 1995, and Zidane took over the playmaker position and then never really lost it. He was there pretty much ever present for France. But I think what sums up Zinedine Zidane is this little snippet from the 2002 World Cup, which I'll read it word for word. As reigning world and European champions, France entered the 2002 World Cup in Japan and Korea as favourites. A thigh injury sustained in a warm-up match before the tournament prevented Zidane from playing in the first two matches for France. Without their talisman, the French team failed to score in either match. That's pretty... How much he glued that team together is incredible. And then his page is obviously huge, as we know it's expected to be huge. But he played in Euro 96, World Cup 98, Euro 2000, 2002 World Cup, Euro 2004, 2006 World Cup, which he retired after the headbutt. But a really good bit to read, I think, on here is the description that other players and managers have given him. Like, you know, you get the quotes. There's just so many of them that describe him as the best player in the world. So elegant. Ronaldinho said he was the best player he's ever played against, like in terms of on the ball. It's just, it comes under reception and legacy. And I would just read that bit. It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Kevin Keegan, like, you look at Zidane and think, I've never seen a player quite like that. What sets Zidane apart is the way he manipulates a football by buying himself space that isn't there. Add that to his vision and it makes him a very, very special player. I think, it's just so many quotes that you could go into. So many quotes. Ibrahimovic, Zidane is from another planet. When Zidane stepped onto the pitch, the 10 other guys just got suddenly better. It's that simple. The famous one from Cesar Maldini, who was Italian manager at the 98 World Cup. I would give up 5 of my players just to have Zidane in my squad. I mean, that's pretty brutal on the Italian players, but... Yeah, he's just been absolutely phenomenal. His career was 506 league appearances across all of his teams, 95 goals. It's a decent record, but you just know if assists are on there as well, and like assist to the assist sort of thing. You know, like the ice hockey assist.
That's the thing. It's you look like, now. We've been obviously been stats are kind of increasing in terms of, you know, the goals per game ratio. Messi and Ronaldo really skewed it.
Yeah.
It's no more pronounced than like Haaland's doing the same thing in the Premier League this season. Like Haaland's got, time of recording, 15 goals in 8 games.
Yeah.
Harry Kane has got 8 and 8, and no one's talking at all about Harry Kane getting 8 and 8. Whereas like normally, like your head goes to goal every couple of games. How I kind of reckon a striker's doing well. But you look at it and you do think, if only he could have scored a few more. Because it's just when it's a typical pundit things, like, because there's so much talent there, and he strikes the ball so well, he's got such great techniques, so his first touch is going to set himself up beautifully. And maybe in a different system, in the way that it works now, and, you know, different utilization of the player, you'd get more goals out of him. But, I mean, just enjoy him. Just enjoy him. And he's got that film about him, hasn't he? I remember owning that when I was younger, the 21st Century Portrait. It just follows him, I think, against Villarreal, I think it is. Just literally 90 minutes with a camera on him.
Yeah.
Just watching his every move. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. It was so much fun to watch, and that's where we've got to end up. I mean, there's probably lots of shared honours that we could go to. There's probably lots of things like that, but we don't like to do things the easy way. And just to let you know, he also won the Intertoto Cup for Bordeaux.
Oh, so he's ticked the big one.
Yeah, he's ticked the big one. Complete. Absolutely complete. So many individual honours as manager and players. Yeah, it's just ridiculous what he's done. Yeah,
Where are we thinking then? From Sir Bobby playing in the kind of 60s and 70s to Zinedine Zidane playing in the 90s and noughties.
Yeah.
We've got one Englishman, one Frenchman.
I mean, you're going to hate me. I think Newcastle KB United. I want to go and see where they are, what they're doing in the world. He's speechless, people. He is speechless.
Oh, go on then.
Are you really good? You're agreeing to it?
Why not?
Wow, okay. All right, I've just seen Real Madrid as a clickable link on Bobby Charlton's page. That'd be easy. Right, yeah. Newcastle KB United. They're a defunct Australian football club. Yeah.
Obviously, because we've never heard of them.
Yeah.
Only ran for 7 years. KB is a beer. KB is a beer. And Tooth Breweries was sponsor, so that's why it's in the name.
Right,
they drew famous names to play guest matches with them. Bobby Charlton, he played a guest match. Okay, famous names. Bobby Charlton, great. Paul Reaney and Craig Johnston. Is Craig Johnston, do we know Craig Johnston?
He's a manager, isn't he?
I've got a feeling he is, but I'm not entirely sure. I think I might be thinking of Craig Burley.
Craig Burley's a pundit.
He had missing teeth, didn't he? Played for Derby County.
Yeah, he played for Derby. He had missing teeth. He had a gappy teeth. He had gap.
No, he had literally a couple of teeth missing.
All right. Yeah. Well, this page is absolutely dreadful. So should we go to Craig Johnson?
The first Newcastle-based team to play in the National League. Formed 1977, did not play until 1978, 1 year after the inception of the Phillips Soccer League. Oh, now the newly formed team is Newcastle Breakers FC. Supporters, they drew a few thousand, 8,000, 10,000, which were down to kind of 1,800 by the end. They've won the Prime Minister's Cup in Canberra against Canberra City in 1982. Great. External links. Highlights on YouTube. YouTube with Craig Johnston. Never seen that before. Are we going to Craig Johnston?
Yeah, we're going to Craig Johnston. He's got a YouTube highlights package.
Great. I'm not sure we know this guy. Oh, played for Middlesbrough. So Craig Peter Johnston, born in 1960, so now 62. South African-born, Australian former footballer. Plays midfielder in the English Football League between 77 and 88, winning the European Cup, 5 league titles and FA Cup. And scoring the 1986 final with Liverpool. Oh, I looked at his youth career. Okay, right. Nicknamed Skippy, was a crowd favourite at Anfield, making 271 appearances, scoring 40 goals. Key member of the A6 double winning team. Also co-wrote the team's 1988 Cup final song, Anfield Rap.
Nice.
He was eligible to play for England, Scotland, Australia and South Africa. But chose to play for none of them. What? Can that be? I suppose you have players who just kind of only ever played for young England under 21s.
That next sentence.
After retiring, he designed and created the prototype for the Adidas Predator football boot worn by many footballers and rugby players, and I have vivid memories of Zinedine Zidane wearing a Predator.
He did. Do you reckon that'll be, are we going to go get to Zinedine Zidane through a football boot? That would be a great way in.
That would be, yeah. So, business career. After retiring from playing football, Johnston found success as a businessman and innovator, designing and creating the boot we just mentioned, worn by many of top players in football and rugby, such as Zinedine Zidane, David Beckham, Steven Gerrard, Xavi, Johnny Wilkinson and Ronan O'Hara. He later designed another innovative boot called the Pig, or to give him the full title, Patented Integrative Grip. There's a skin that can be placed over the toe of an existing boot. This is your bag, isn't it? Like kind of materials and science.
Material science, yeah. This is right on my street.
Invented the traction sole. Johnson invested heavily in a football school idea for inner city children, but failed to win expected business backing when went bankrupt. He was made temporarily homeless as a result. Okay, during the 2010 FIFA World Cup, Johnson wrote a 12-page letter to FIFA president Sepp Blatter in which he collected criticism by players and coaches of the controversial Adidas product with Jabulani ball, risking his reputation and expecting to be blacklisted by the conservative governing body as a result of the letter.
Loves to stir things up, doesn't he?
He's not afraid of speaking out. I mean, he's part South African, part Australian.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Well, Zinedine Zidane's mentioned.
Yeah, I feel like you'd just be going around the houses to do something else, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I feel like this could be a very, very quick episode. I mean, we've technically got to him through Craig Johnston. I'd like to feel like we've got to Zinedine Zidane through the Adidas Predator football boot, not...
Yeah, basically. I mean, oh no. Oh, the Predator is a clickable link. Is that going to be a boot? That's a risky click. Oh. Predator film, 2001, whatever it is.
To that Predator film came out in 1980s, mate. Arnie Schwarzenegger's in it.
Oh, I mean Alien. I was thinking Alien versus Predator, a later one, isn't it?
Yeah, that was like 2009, 10, something like that. Okay. Well, do we just click on Zidane?
And click on Zidane. Done. Yeah. Tick.
Easy. I mean, shortest episode ever? I don't know what our record is. Let's look at some stats.
Record is 3 clicks. Well, 3 in total, so 1 click in between.
Was that Heskey to West?
That was. It was mentioned in the episode, wasn't it? In the first page.
Yeah.
We had... Okay. It went Treba West. The FIFA 2002 FIFA World Cup Group F, Emil Heskey.
And this one's gone Sir Bobby Charlton, Newcastle KB United... Craig Johnston, Zidane.
That's just normal. That's just normal how it happens.
Impressive.
Done. So, Sir Bobby Charlton, one of the greatest midfielders of all time, but in a different era, played a guest appearance for Newcastle KB United, a now defunct Australian Football League team. They also had a few other people make guest appearances for them, including Craig Johnston. And we weren't really sure who he was, but we knew he kind of knew him. And turns out he was a Liverpool legend, but who also went on to make or design the Adidas Predator boot, which Zinedine Zidane was famed for wearing, and lo and behold, in his business career, he mentioned such players as Beckham, Gerrard, and Zinedine Zidane. Here we go. Bobby to Zizou, with 2 pages in between.
Incredible. Very successful episode. No actions, but I think there was one thing to check. I think we had one issue to check.
How many World Cup squads?
Yes. I think we did it on the spot, though, didn't we? To say that we couldn't think of anyone else that's done 4. So, nice. Well, that brings an end to this week's podcast. Very short, sweet, and to the point, this one. Thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages. You can find us on Twitter @WikiWanderers and on Instagram @WikipediaWanderers as well. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.